at least the worldly part of Christmas. We are lucky to be able to continue the celebration of Jesus' birth a bit longer until tomorrow when we celebrate Epiphany. So how was your Christmas? Did you enjoy some good time with your family? Maybe some of you just survived some time with your family. Maybe it was a time filled with great memories, or maybe it brought up some painful ones. My prayers have been rising for all those who celebrated this year without a spouse or a parent or a child or someone else that they love who has gone on to live with God. So did you get what you wanted for Christmas? What toys have already broken? And then the ever-present question of Christmas gifts today, what have you exchanged? It's become kind of par for the course to give a gift receipt so that the receiver can take the gift back if it doesn't fit or if it isn't what they wanted or if they already have 5 green sweaters. Returning gifts has become pretty widely accepted. In fact, a few years ago, well, more than a few, I guess now, my parents decided to just give us kids mostly money for Christmas and let us pick out our gifts ourselves because they were tired of us returning all the ones that they took so much time to buy for us. I agreed, and I was kind of relieved because I told my mom after many years that I still don't like to wear plaid no matter how many plaid things she bought for me. It was like it was her quest to make me love plaid. I got a plaid bathrobe, a plaid umbrella, plaid shirts. Still didn't like it. And then there were the classical flute CDs, which, while somewhat interesting to me, were not at the top of my list as a 16-year-old. Shocking. We don't always get what we want, but that's not always the point of receiving a gift. When I was in seminary, my grandma was always looking for little ways to help me, little things she could do. She was always trying to give me stuff that she didn't need anymore so that I wouldn't have to buy it and I could save money. Very sweet of her, but not always as helpful as she probably hoped. One time we were talking on the phone and she said, "Heidi, do you wear shorts?" I said yes, and I braced myself for what was coming. She said, "Oh, good, because I don't wear them anymore, and I have some to give you." Well, it was very nice of her to want to give me her shorts, but wearing my grandma's shorts were probably even lower on my list than plaid bathrobes and classical flute CDs. We don't always get what we want at Christmas or throughout the year. When we receive gifts, though, it's not just about us. It's about the goodness and kindness of the giver. Just like the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, love, and light is given out of the goodness of God. One thing I always worry about at Christmas time, and I suspect many of you do too, is giving a gift that's equal to what I've been given. I don't want someone to think I'm a total cheapskate or that I don't value them, but it's not always possible to give equal to what we've been given. And sometimes there's more joy in a small gift if there's meaning in it. This is like the story of the widow's mite in the Bible. The widow came to the temple to give her offering, which was 2 practically worthless coins. But she was lifted up by Jesus because she gave all that she had. Giving isn't always about equal gifts, but about equal sacrifice. You're going to be hearing a lot about that in our upcoming capital campaign. The most touching gifts that we'll receive aren't always the biggest ones, but the ones that are given with the most heart and with the most personal sacrifice so that God's work can have some room to grow here at Grace. Things are never equal. At Christmas, in gift giving, in what we receive from God, and what we give to God, and certainly never in our lives. But what always amazes me when I think about these things is that God doesn't require us to give back what God has given to us. God gives to us unconditionally. In fact, God knows for certain that we can never give back what's equal to what we receive from God. And God is totally okay with that. God wants us to be close to Him, to follow Him, and to live with Him forever. So much so that God says, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes, even my own son, my life, to give you everything. Jesus exchanged heaven for earth. He exchanged life for death and power for ridicule. He took on flesh and blood and the suffering that comes with it to lead us into the light of God. As our song that we sang said, a wonderful exchange you make. You take our flesh and blood, and in return give us to share the shining realm of God. Martin Luther put it this way, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, just as I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You have taken upon yourself what you were not and have given me what I was not. In Christmas, God exchanged our sin for forgiveness. It's not a gift that we can see. It's one we could deny, but it's not one that can ever be taken away or taken back. Jesus offers it to all who receive Him, who believe in His name. He gives them the power to become the children of God, born of God, the Word made flesh. Through this gift, we know who God is. I love the reading today from Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah lived and prophesied through the final decades of the little kingdom of Judah when it was falling apart. He survived the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC and then was taken to Egypt by refugees living in exile. It's there that he lived out his last years. This reading describes beautifully many things that God exchanges for us. Jeremiah and all God's people are in exile, and God tells them, I'm going to bring you from the land of the north and gather you from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together, a great company, they shall return here. God is going to bring His people all together. They're scattered, but He will unite them. Jeremiah says, with weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. To us, that doesn't maybe seem as dramatic as it would to the people of Jeremiah that Jeremiah is writing to. When you're traveling, you would probably have to go many miles on hard roads and maybe not be close to water. But he describes God leading us as in a straight path, which we won't stumble over, and by brooks of water where our thirst can be quenched. Jeremiah says, the Lord has ransomed Jacob. We hear that word in the Bible sometimes, and paying a ransom is no more than an exchange. Exchanging money or life to get back what you want. And God will pay, will do whatever He needs to do to get His people back to Him. Jeremiah says, they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, the grain, the wine, the oil. And he describes the flock and the herd. God will give them meat for food, which was much more unusual in their time than it is for us. He says, their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Everyone will rejoice, men and women, young and old. They will all dance and be happy together because God says, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them. I will give them gladness for sorrow. God exchanges our sadness, gives us comfort and joy. And the story of the Bible is a story of exchange, of God exchanging everything for us, His beloved children. God wants to give us joy, gladness, comfort, peace, food. God wants to make our paths straight and easy to walk. It's a gift given out of love and not out of expectation that we'll be able to repay God. It's a gift given that God wants us to take, to cherish, and it doesn't come with a gift receipt because God doesn't want us to return it. As our celebration of Christmas comes to a close, we can be thankful for the gift that we receive every day through Jesus, a gift we can never lose, repay, or exchange. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.